Atlantic to the Pacific, from mountain crest to mountain crest, from canyons to the clouds and into the cosmos, we are pumping wattage high and low, plus streaming worldwide on the internet and keeping you company tonight. It's the place to relax and hang out. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange, giving you the latest and discussing the weirdest. We have assembled the finest team of reporters and the most intriguing guests, and that's why we are your favorite hub in a wild, wild world. So keep it tuned right here. This hour, we are soon going to dig into naked ghosts. And I don't know that we'll be posting any pictures related to this story. They're quite plentiful on the internet. But let me remind you, if you go to speakingofstrange.com or joshuapwarren.com, you will find the radionic boxes. That's right, physical wishing machines available for a brief period of time as an experiment. Already, they have been very popular, and they are custom made. You can go there and watch a little free video that explains to you what they are and why they are so popular. It's difficult to find one that really works, and that's why we are working closely with a technician who is doing an excellent job of making them right there for you, for us. I think I might take my radionics box and use it on my neck. I was telling you before the show, Shelley Wright, I almost died a few days ago, a really ridiculous, stupid death. I was working about 6 o'clock in the morning in my office, and I was going to pick up my telephone to make a phone call in some other time zone, and I kind of leaned back in my chair. And this chair, I had a big, nice office chair that I've had since I was about like 14 or 15 years old, and the thing just broke. And I flipped back, and my neck hit so hard on the shelves and everything behind me, I thought I'd broken my neck. There was a moment there where I was just thanking God, oh, my neck is not broken. Because what a stupid way to die or get paralyzed. Sitting in your office, your chair breaks. Poof. The wife comes home, and here I am, you know, laying there in some state of disarray or dead. You'd have to make up some adventurous story. Well, he was on Brown Mountain, and he was rappelling down the side of a cliff, and the rope broke. No, just bent back too far in his chair. So now that little conjunction where your neck meets your spine, oh, it's sore there. I probably have an internal bone bruise.
So is the chair broken?
Yes, it is. I had to buy a new chair, so I have a comfy new leather chair, which is really cool. The old chair might still be repairable, but just don't put any fat guys in it.
Not fat.
Well, you know, I still wouldn't put a fat guy in the chair.
Well, have you tried the universal feel good remedy of ice?
No.
Well, you should. Yeah. Ice is nice.
I need to pack some ice around this thing.
At least some frozen peas.
Frozen peas.
Yes, they can form so nicely to your body.
Okay.
Better than broccoli florets.
Well, if I eventually I'm going to die, I think. I think that's, you know, unless I do get bitten in Transylvania, and then I become a Nicolas Cage undead creature. I wouldn't mind coming back as a naked ghost. I mean, I'm talking like Orb City, ladies. Woo! which reminds me, I saw a fantastic full-bodied apparition photo that came in today. I don't have permission yet to share it with you, but hopefully I will soon. It's not an orb video, though. What are you chuckling about now?
I'm sorry, I'm thinking of drafty old houses, and then suddenly I started thinking about shrinkage.
That wouldn't be a problem, because I would be outside of time, space, and the environment. I would be permanently elevated,
so to speak.
You come back as how you see yourself.
Well, that's one theory. That's a great tie-in to one theory.
because I remember when I first started talking about ghosts and the idea that a ghost is a reflection of the human soul, the human spirit, people would sometimes say, well, why then is a ghost clothed? Why is not a ghost naked,
right?
If that's all it is, the human spirit. And there are a number of different ways of looking at this. One way of looking at it is, well, everything has an energy field, including your clothes. And, you know, we see ghosts of inanimate objects. You might see a ghost smoking a pipe, or you might see the ghost of a ship or a stagecoach with the horses pulling it, or their ghost airplanes. I mean, so there are physical things, and so maybe it's about the overall energy field. Another theory is that, well, when you see a ghost, especially if it's an imprint, you're seeing the entire area that the ghost was in sort of bathed with the energy that came from the body, which therefore charges all the objects around it. Another theory is that if you see a ghost, the ghost is able to determine how it is being seen by you, which is why a ghost might come back from a person who died when he or she was 80 years old, but you see them and they look like they're 20 years old or 10 years old. And in one little experiment that you can use to maybe dig into this is for all of you listening right now to, you know, close your eyes and think of yourself. Just envision yourself. Now, how many of you saw your legs when you did this? Most people, when they think of themselves, don't think of their legs. They think of themselves more of how they look when they look into a typical mirror, kind of from the waist up. How many of you thought of yourself as naked when I said that? Most people don't. Some people do. That's why I say, someday I want to own the Anthony Weiner mansion. Because that guy is definitely coming back naked. Shelly?
I have another theory.
You've just been bubbling over on this topic as soon as I mentioned it tonight. What's your theory now?
Okay, my newest theory is that the universe knows that most people don't want to see ghost junk.
Well, I don't know about that. That depends. I mean, I feel like it would be very disarming, in a way, to see a naked ghost, as opposed to, say, one wearing a big cape with a cane or something like that.
And really, I mean, if you know, how many people would really know it was you if you came back naked? You know, not the whole world has seen you naked, I don't think.
Hence the Anthony Weiner connection.
Yeah, I really don't want to think about Anthony Weiner.
You've seen
Weiner
the Anthony
naked.
Weiner picture. I call it a towering stalk of democracy. That's the best way I can describe it.
I saw the blurred version, and I was very glad to be protected from that picture.
Well, I had one of these weird dreams one time in which... And it's one of these that was so realistic that you wonder, was this a dream or did this actually happen? I was sort of astrally projecting out of my body, and I was abducted by a spaceship full of aliens. And they took me into a chamber, and it was so vivid, so realistic. And this big kind of amorphous energy field spoke to me and said, now, I want you to be comfortable. I know what you're thinking.
Yes, you do.
I just want to look at you.
Wasn't thinking that.
And the energy field said, so that you will not be alarmed, how do you want me to appear? And I said, how about an attractive woman in a bikini? And the energy said, fine. And so now I'm here in a room with an attractive lady in a bikini. And at that point, it was much, much easier for me to have this interaction and remain calm. Now, could I have said Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, probably, and then, you know, that would have not been as encouraging for dialogue. But nonetheless, I've heard stories about people like Ralph Lill at Brown Mountain who claimed that he was abducted and that that these were women in bikinis who abducted him. Maybe there's something to that. By the way, at the Brown Mountain Light Symposium, the audience was largely composed of locals from the area, and there were at least a couple people there who said that they knew Ralph Lill. And, you know, we've talked about the Ralph Lill alien mummy, which you can see, I guess it's probably at brownmountainlights.com. Mountain all spelled out, brownmountainlights.com. I think it's posted there. If not, you know, it's posted somewhere. And they said that Ralph Lill told them that it was, in fact, a pygmy that he had gotten, a little dried-up pygmy from Africa. So, I don't know. But anyway, point being, when it comes to naked ghosts, it's one thing to speculate on this. It's another thing to actually have some case files and some field data to look at. And so years ago, Mr. Mobius was one of the most insistent people about bringing up this question. He was saying, why are there no reports of naked ghosts? Why are there no reports of naked ghosts? Well, in a minute, we're going to get into your naked ghost experience, Shelley, because I didn't realize you'd seen a naked ghost. But being that Mobius had sort of put this challenge to me years ago, one night recently I was at my house, and I was looking through one of my favorite books, The Field Guide to Ghosts and Other Apparitions. And it's written by Hillary Evans and Patrick Weege. And, Forrest, you and I met Patrick Weege because when I used to do my conferences at Grove Park, he came one year and spoke about UFOs. Remember that?
I do.
And he wrote this even before I knew him. And I was kind of flattered because in the back of this book, they give a list of their, I guess, their bibliography. And one of the books that they used in writing this book was one of my earliest books called Plausible Ghosts. So anyway, I was looking through this, and all of a sudden, bang, there it is, voila, The Naked Specter. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about The Naked Specter, an actual case file in a legitimate ghost research book here. And then we'll see about Shelley's personal experience with this phenomenon. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange.
Naked eye, I saw the falling rain.
broadcasting from Asheville, North Carolina, land of the sky. I am your host, Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange, the show where the unusual becomes usual. Talking right now about naked ghosts, naked specters. And that's a very strange subject indeed. Keep in mind, program brought to you in large part by the Sunshine Simple Solar Generator for the Home, created by myself. Go to sunshinesimple.com and just watch the free video about it. And if you live within a decent driving range of Asheville, North Carolina, we'll give you a discount on one unit, just one that I have. I've been using it in my own house. It just got some scratches on it from shipping, and so we want to give a little discount as kind of a treat because people are always asking us for a hookup, you know. Go to sunshinesimple.com, and if you're the first person who would like to get the unit that I'm talking about, well, we'll see if we can work it out with you. So, Miss Wright has seen a naked ghost, and so we'll hold off a little bit on that. We'll keep teasing people with the naked specter that you've seen. And you said you weren't looking in the mirror at the time.
No.
Okay. So here I was, sort of in the back of my mind, always rolling over this kind of a challenge about finding good, credible, legitimate stories related to naked specters. And again, I looked into this book, The Field Guide to Ghosts and Other Apparitions, and voila, here it is, with a lot of detail. This naked specter is the product of an incident that occurred in 1940 in Mexico City, Mexico, witnessed by G. Frank Clifton and others. And I'm just going to read this little passage for you right out of the book. There's an illustration here, which we'll get to in a minute. G. Frank Clifton of Brownsboro, Texas, and his young wife were honeymooning in Mexico City. He also planned to do some business while visiting the capital. They were staying at Shirley Courts, part of the Maximilian Estates, when something very odd happened. One night, Clifton found himself suddenly wide awake and quite surprised to see a woman he took to be his wife at the foot of the bed. She was kneeling with her arms folded across her breasts. The woman, quote, was nude and her long hair fell down her back, end quote, recalled Clifton, which is what led him to believe it was his wife, who, as it happened, had long hair and slept in the nude. Clifton then sat up in bed, reached out to take her by the arm, and said, "Why not come back to bed?" And as soon as he did so, however, the naked woman vanished, and Clifton then realized that his wife was actually asleep beside him. The next morning, Clifton told the Mexican woman at the desk what had happened to him that night. "Did she appear about 2 o'clock in the morning?" the Mexican woman asked. "Yes," replied Clifton. The Mexican woman explained that others had also seen her at about that time. And later, Clifton learned that the caretaker of Shirley Courts had seen the woman many times in an old building they used as a storeroom. This is one of those rare cases where an apparition has appeared without earthly accoutrements, clothes. More naked ghosts appeared in the Horan Valley outside of Haditha, Iraq, in August of 1999, however. Motorists driving through the town reported that, quote, ghosts appeared next to the bridge, naked and doing some acrobatic moves, end quote. Uh-huh. The local newspaper said that the almost human ghosts were, quote, throwing themselves before cars, causing the drivers to panic, end quote. And the source of this, or sources, include G. Frank Clifton, from Fate, August of 1975, page 118, and also Newsday. Yeah, believe it or not, Newsday had an article, Naked Ghosts Scaring Iraqi Drivers, August 21st of 1999. How bizarre is that? A Newsday article talking about naked ghosts. So I'm wondering if you were to go to this place in Mexico City now, and, I mean, did I have a room number there? I don't think I did. Yeah. But I'm sure that if you went there, they could tell you some of the places where this happened, if they'll talk about it, because some of the Latin American countries are very reserved about, you know, discussing naked ghosts. And so here's an illustration, and simply enough, it shows a naked woman with her elbows propped up on the base of the bed. Her face is in her hands, and she appears to be sobbing miserably, with, you know, long hair draped down her back. And I have heard about, you know, crying specters, and that makes sense. And it would be a very creepy thing to see. But I had never heard of this particular case until I saw that. And you know, Shelley, I think we're maybe going to wait until after the next break to get into your experience so that you'll have plenty of time to talk about it. What is your opinion, though, now that I've thrown out some theories about the idea of naked specters?
You know, I think it just raises more questions than it answers. I don't know why I saw what I saw. I didn't see anything like what you just described in the book.
Well, also, you know, there's a big difference between seeing a naked specter and having an intimate experience with a naked
Definitely.
Spiritual being.
Definitely.
Getting back to, like, the incubus and the succubus.
Right. Totally different. Yes.
And I know a number of people who have sworn to me that they have had these types of intimate experiences with ghosts. And intimate is a very general term there. Sometimes it's unwanted.
Right.
Sometimes it's very much wanted. In fact, what I have found is that usually the women who tell me that they have had an incubus encounter say that they didn't expect it and they didn't in any way sort of invite this. But I have talked to several men who have had succubus experiences, and maybe not all that surprisingly, enjoyed the experience. And so then claim that once you have this encounter, you can, in fact, increase the chances of having it again by just before you go to bed, sort of looking out there. And you and I know a guy who has said this. You know I'm talking about, Forrest? Okay. We won't use his name. But we know a guy who has said that before he would go to bed, he would lay there and look up and say, I am yours tonight. You can do with me what you will. And just sit there and meditate for a while on it and then go to sleep. And then he would wake up in the middle of the night and here is the succubus.
So this has only happened with the guys, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't usually, I mean, I've heard of women who have had the incubus experience who say that they didn't invite it, but it wasn't necessarily bad. But I've not heard of you know, women who are sitting there like inviting it like this. So anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will see what your experience was, Shelley Wright, seeing a naked ghost. Because aside from the incubus succubus thing, I'm trying to think, in all my years of investigation, you might be the only person that I've met who will actually claim, right here on the airwaves, that you have seen a naked ghost. And maybe there might be some nuance about it that means little to you that will mean something to me in terms of how these things physically manifest, making perhaps a little dark history here on the show tonight. I'm Joshua P. Warren. More Naked Ghost on Speaking of Strange. Don't touch that dial. Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. We're talking this evening about naked ghosts, naked specters, and this is one of the rarest phenomena in all of paranormal activity. And that's why, you know, it brings up some great questions related to what a ghost is and how that energy manifests and why a ghost may or may not have clothes. Are we looking more at the energy of the organic, the biological, or the inanimate? But I'm in the studio with investigator Shelley Wright. And Shelley, you were very eager to say that you have seen a naked ghost. Is that right?
Yes.
So now, before we dig directly into that, you are one of those people who is... Very, open about the fact that you have seen numerous ghosts throughout your life.
Right.
Almost like that you have a special ability to see ghosts. Right?
Right.
Do you know why that you would have this special ability?
No.
Is this perhaps genetic? Anybody else in your family have this ability?
You know, other people can do different things, but they don't really talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And not like I do it.
How are you treated by your friends and family when they know that you have this ability?
Well, I mean, really, we don't talk about it. I mean, it doesn't really come up very much. I didn't talk about it when I was really growing up too much. In fact, the very first one that I saw, I didn't tell anybody.
See, I would think that it doesn't matter who you are, that would be scary if you could just see ghosts from time to time. Is it not a little freaky, or, I mean...
Sometimes. Sometimes. The first time, I was curious.
So how many times a year do you think you would see an apparition on average?
I have no idea, because sometimes you're not quite sure.
Some people say that spirits are all around us all the time. And some people say, no, you know, there are special ones that... are more pronounced. What do you feel is the case?
Well, I think that some people have sort of a, I don't know if you want to call it like a shield, sort of a way to protect oneself, and only, you know, sometimes certain ones come in. And so I don't feel overwhelmed like I guess some people would if they were around all the time.
Like the kid in The Sixth Sense.
Right, or like in that show Medium.
Mm-hmm.
You wake up and you get all these people gathered around your bed or whatever. Yeah, that hasn't happened to me.
So, have you only seen a naked ghost once?
Yes, and it was the very first time I ever saw one.
Now, you said earlier this happened when you were maybe 4 to 5.
I was 4.
Any doubts about what you experienced at that age?
Not now. Then I really and truly thought that I was just seeing a naked lady. She was that solid.
Okay, tell us as many details as possible. When did this happen? What were the conditions like? Where did it happen? Etc.
I don't even quite remember where it happened. We used to, I know it was on a Sunday afternoon because we always took Sunday drives with my grandmother. It was my mom and dad and brother and my grandmother and me. And I don't know where it was. We would just drive all over the place. But I know it was cold only because I saw this naked woman and I thought at first, well, she's just laying out in the sun. But, well, why would she lay out in the sun? Because it's cold outside. So I just had lots of questions that just kept coming up. Well, this is what I see, but why would I see that way? What is this?
So you looked out a window or what? What happened?
I was looking out the car window. I was sitting in the back seat, and
uh-huh.
I looked out the window. And apparently I was the only one that saw it. Nobody said anything, and there were other cars around. And I kept thinking, well, why is nobody stopping? Why aren't there other cars stopping and looking?
So, okay, now where exactly was this again?
Okay, it was North Carolina.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Swannanoa or Black Mountain.
Okay.
I don't think it was Asheville.
So this is kind of a vague, foggy memory.
Well, except for her. She is very, very clear to me.
Was she lounging on an object, a lawn chair or something?
No, she was in a ravine.
In a ravine?
Yeah. It was a ravine. It was on the side of there was a ravine.
I'm having trouble picturing this scenario for some reason.
Well,
are you getting this far? Is my mind just drifting too much?
No, basically what you need to...
Are you saying that this might have been some kind of like impression from maybe a car accident or something like that?
I think she was murdered. I think it was a crime scene I saw.
Okay.
Because the details that I remember about it sound like, I mean, if you were looking at it as a crime scene, if you were looking at it forensically, it was like she was posed.
And so the car was stopped at the time.
We were driving.
You were driving?
Yeah.
So you're driving, you're looking out the window,
yes.
And you look down and see a naked woman and...
On the other side, yes.
Okay, so this was just a couple seconds, just right?
I guess it could have been, but it seemed like forever. It seemed like it took forever for us to pass by.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't believe that nobody else saw her. But something kept me from saying anything to anybody else.
Well, how do you know it was a ghost?
Well, I didn't at first. I just thought it was a lady laying out in the sun naked. I mean, a 4-year-old doesn't... You see things, but you don't know what context to put them in.
But even now, how do you know that maybe you did witness a dead lady lying there?
Yes.
So you've just assumed this was a ghost.
Well, I remember thinking at the time that she was real. But then, again, I kept thinking, somebody would see her. Somebody would have seen her.
Right.
And then I thought, well, maybe she's not really there. Maybe she's not there anymore. Maybe she used to be there.
Maybe she is there now. Maybe there's a skeleton there.
Maybe.
You might have seen a dead lady when you were a kid and didn't properly report this.
Yeah. I was so remiss in my 4-year-old.
Yeah. Well,
but she was, I remember that she was young.
Mm-hmm.
She was maybe in her 20s. I remember that she was white and that she had dark hair.
Okay, I just saw a ghost. Did somebody walk down the hallway? Seriously.
Hey, you never pay attention when I tell you that.
Is there somebody in
I'll
here?
I'll go out there and check real
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, run out and check, because I just saw somebody walk down the hallway, and I didn't see a car pull in here. Yeah, let's... Okay, there's a man. Never mind. That was good timing, though. Is that one of our engineers or somebody? Just a strange...
I don't know who that guy is.
A strange bearded
man.
We
don't know who it is, but it's not a ghost.
Maybe he is a ghost. How do we know? He passed back and forth. Who was this guy who just walked down the hallway?
The ghost of Radio Ranch.
Yeah, we come here and record this show every week. I don't think I've ever seen that guy before. As far as we know, the whole building is empty. Wait a second. Maybe we have seen that guy before. I don't know. Anyway... The timing was right. It looked like a ghost might have walked by, but no, that's probably a real dude. Maybe he's one of the cleaning and maintenance fellows.
Here. Maybe.
Yeah. Okay. Where were we? Oh, yes. So, you see, the thing that makes your experience different is that you didn't have the ability to confirm whether or not this was physical. Like, the guy in this story in Mexico City... The woman was there, and then she vanished. Now, given your track record since then, seeing people who have done that, it's easy to presume that this was a ghost. But that brings us to one of the most complicated parts about determining what a ghost is. Because if you can see ghosts that appear to be that tangible and physical, do you think that maybe you see ghosts even more often than you think you do, and you just... presume they're real people?
Probably. I'm sure that's very possible.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk a little bit more about this naked ghost thing. And I know one thing. If you're going to appear as a naked ghost, hopefully you're going to come back as a good-looking naked ghost, right?
Yes, please.
I would not want to see the ghost of this guy. I have a story from Ohio. A guy who takes his Wendy's fast food so seriously. Probably not a very pretty ghost when he comes back, if he happens to be naked. How do you like that segue into weird news? I'm Joshua B. Warren. You're listening to Speaking of Strange.
Now my old world
It's Speaking of Strange in the final minutes of hour number two. And next hour we call the Dark 30 Hour, when we dig into some of the more outrageous and controversial news of late. Not for the kiddies, not for the easily offended. And we're talking right now about naked ghosts and how, there is a record of naked ghosts. And it may very well be that you cannot easily determine if a ghost is real or, let me put it this way, if it's a ghost or if it's a real person. But if you see a naked person in an obviously outrageous place, let's say you're walking through the mall, and here's a naked person walking through the mall, and you're the only one who notices this, that's probably a naked ghost. Especially if it disappears, right? Because, to a certain extent, you have to rely upon the reactions of people around you. Wouldn't you say, Shelley? Yes. I mean, to be certain.
Yes.
And it makes you start thinking, like, you know, how are certain people going to come back? If you can choose how you come back, do you choose to come back naked? Do you choose to come back wearing clothes? People are getting so weird nowadays. It's difficult to understand. You know, they're behaving so oddly in their physical form. It makes you wonder, what are they going to be like if this person comes back as a ghost? You know, it's like I mentioned before the break. Here's a story from Ohio. Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. A guy there went into Wendy's and sat down by himself about 5 p.m., 45-year-old man, and just had a nice, big, juicy Wendy's meal. You a Wendy's fan, Shelley?
I think I used to be.
What do you mean? Did you have a bad experience?
No, but I have a feeling that your story is about to change things forever.
Well, not really. I mean, because nobody knows exactly what happened. This guy, he sat down there, had a nice, big Wendy's meal. Then he got up, walked across the street to Home Depot, goes over to the sledgehammer section, takes his time, peruses around a little bit, tries out various sledgehammers, finds one that is just right, it feels good in his hands. You know how that goes far.
Oh, yeah.
It's
a perfect fit.
Isn't that nice when you're like trying out axes and sledgehammers and hammers and you're thinking, man, I could just kill everybody in the store right now. How do they protect against me flipping out and killing everybody right now?
Right.
So he picked out the perfect sledgehammer, went over, calmly purchased it, and then he walked right back across the street to Wendy's and took his sledgehammer and proceeded to bash the crap out of all the windows at Wendy's, where he had just eaten less than an hour before, just...
My food didn't look like a picture.
Can you imagine the looks on people's faces?
Well, it's probably because of their new French fries.
Did they change the formula?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
It's just not the same.
What are they like now?
They're terrible.
I call them recession fries.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't had Wendy's in a long time. What are they like? Are they just like soggy or what?
They're supposedly natural cut fries.
Mm-hmm.
Smaller.
Smaller, and they're not like the good thick fries you used to get at Wendy's.
Hmm.
They're just not good.
So you just don't even have the option, huh?
No.
Well, this guy, this is a Wendy's fan. I'm assuming, because he did thousands of dollars worth of damage. Police were quickly there. They arrested the man, who actually had gotten injured from some of the broken glass. Fortunately, none of the customers were injured. And police asked him if he had a reason for why he did this. Why did you do this? That's probably the best part of a policeman's job, with getting to ask people, why did you do this? Whatever it is they did. And the guy just said, I don't know.
That's just the wrong answer.
Didn't have a reason. So they have charged the guy with, you know, felony vandalism, inducing panic, and all kinds of things like that. Pending upon his release from the hospital. What is a ghost like that going to be like? You know, it's like people, they contact me and they want me to psychoanalyze ghosts, and I can't even understand what living people do. Imagine the naked, sledgehammer-wielding Wendy's Phantom. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it'll be the Dark 30 hour when we dig into, believe it or not, some of the more extreme, weird, outrageous, controversial material. Not for the kiddies. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're listening to the show where the unusual becomes usual. It's called Speaking of Strange. Letters, boxes,